Yes, Min.
Hi, Jasmine. Yes, and come on.
Hi.
Brandela. Hi, Brandy. Didn't come on yet.
Okay, thanks.
Good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon. Are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, I'm going
to
go. I think there are three of us so far. I'm going to go ahead and...
Yeah, there are three as far as I know. So please join me in saying the Anna Bacala. If all three of you were in the earlier class, there's no need to do that. So I don't know who's actually on and if you were on the earlier class.
Brandela, I wasn't on the earlier class. And Hannah,
right. I know Hannah, you were on, but that's okay. And I don't know who the third person is.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yes.
I think I've joined only once before. My name's Tanya, so I know of the Anna Bacala, but I don't think I can recite it along with you.
That's all right. Listening to it is fine until you're ready to learn it as you choose. You're welcome to join us. So we'll begin with it. Please join us if you know how, and if not, just listen. You can find on the website a copy of the Anna Bacala, and that has transliteration, so you can follow along with that as well.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Anna Bacala, Gedula Chimincha, Tati, Terura, Alephet Gimel, Yutah Tzadi, Kabel Rina, Amcha Sagbenu, Alaha Reina, No ra Kufrei Shayin Sintet Nun Na Gibor Dor Shehud Ka Kivah Nun gimel dalet yud kaf shin. Barhem tacharem rachame sitkatcha tami gamlem. Betet resh daritaf gimel. The letters of the month of Av. The kaf that created the planet Shemesh, the planet Chama, which is the planet we call the suns, and the Tet that created the constellation Aryeh, the lion, which is the astrological sign of Leo. Chasim kadosh, v'ro tuvcha, na'el adata, het kuf bet, het nunayim. Yachid ge'e lampa p'nei Zokre kidushata Yud gimel lamed, hezayin kuf Shavatenu kabel Ushmati akatenu Yodea talumot Shin kuf vav, dadi yud tov. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We're now going to separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohe Wahe, Adonai Yohe Wahe, El Rachum V'chanun, Erech Apaim, v'rav chesed v'emet, notzer chesed l'alafim, noseawon wafesha, v'chata'a v'nakei. We're now going to connect to the year 5777, the current year that we're in, which has the energy of the goat. There are two verses that connect to this energy from the Tanakh, and we will read the first one, study the first one from Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52. And we'll start with Elisha and Yehud. And Tanya, if you're not familiar with this procedure, we bring the energy of creation, and we bring the energy of holiness, and we connect to certain energies, metaphysical energies, in order to bring balance into our lives. And we do that at the beginning of every class.
Okay, thank you.
L'shem yichud Urhimud, hilud, hilu, urhimu. Leakta, leshem, yud, hey, bevav, hey. Beyehuda, shalim, beshem, kol Yisrael. Limud, Torah, mitzvah. Lasok, Torah, mitzvah. Vaihino, amadunai, Elohinu, alenu, maasei, adenu, konane, alenu, maasei, adenu, konanehu. Tzod tzaduni katzipor o yevai chinam. When we take the first letters of these words, we're able to permute them into three new Hebrew words, tzatz ki ach, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letters of these words, we're able to permute them into dir yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. The second verse that has this energy of the goat is Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. Concealed in this verse is the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Zion. The letters of that name are separated by seven letters each. Kim ba Adonai. Yo he wa he, elo he chem tadibaku, kasher asitem Ad hayom hazeh. The year 5776 is known as the year of the pause. And we connect to this energy because many times in our life, we need to pause. We need to take a step back and contemplate what is the correct action to do at that moment. By studying the two verses that connect to last year, the year of the pause, we're connecting to those that type of energy within our life today. The first verse we study is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Raka kohanim ha'yulimat v'lo yachlu lehashit et kol ha'olot v'yachaskum achechem ha'levim ad kilot hamlacha Yad yitkachu hakohanim, ki halivim yishrei levav lehitkadesh me hakohanim. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letter of each word, we're able to permute it into 8 names of God. Here are those 8 names. Adonai Yohei Wahei Lalahei Wawawa Yola Yoala Mei Hei 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 Aka A Rekaha. The second verse that connects to the year of the pause is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bithu ba Adonai Yohei wahei ade ad kibia yohei Adonai yohei wahei tzur olamim. The year 5775 has the metaphysical energy of swallowing death forever. There are 3 verses that connect to this energy. The first verse we will study of the 3 is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishe mimeni, lo tarpeni ad bil yiruki. The second verse is 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru udu mikol hamachavo iyam. Asher yitchabe sham v'shavtem elai el nachon. V'chalakti yitchem v'chayayim yeshno. V'aretz v'chipasti oto b'kol alfei Yehuda. And the third verse is also from Job. It's chapter 20, verse 7. Kager lo lanetzah yoved ro'av yom ru'ayo. In the year 5774, with the energy of peace in the Middle East, we continue to say this verse in order to keep the ceasefire that's in the south of Israel from blowing up again, and hopefully expanding that to other border areas for the modern state of Israel. There is only one verse that connects to this energy of peace in the Middle East, and that's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wisamti makom liami li Yisrael untati v'shakam. Ta'atav v'lo yirgaz, od v'lo yosifu. V'nei avla la'anoto, ka'asher barishona. Now we're going to read a verse from the Zohar, from the Sulam commentary of the Zohar. It's coming from Parasha Yitro, it's Pasuk 29. And the energy of this verse is certainty, and we all need to connect to greater and greater certainty. Rabbi Abamar Bika Matar Tane Nandakucha Barifu Koma Diaved Leela Witata Kola Ihu Kishot Bioveda Dikshot Veleid Lach Mila Bialma Divae Barnash Vedat Yaleya Mineya Ulan Haga Beya Kalana Dehakulu Ovada Dikshot Inun Wikola Itzirif Bialma. We're going to scan the 72 names of God. Normally, we would say them using the root vowel for each letter, but we did that earlier today, so we'll just scan them. And the same is true for the 72 names from the Tzaddikim. And the names of the Tzaddikim who chose to leave this day while it's still daylight: Rabbi Chaim ben Rabbi Yosef Dov Ber Soloveitchik, Rabbi Aaron ben Rabbi Yisachar Dov Rokeach, he's known as the Belzer Rebbe, Rabbi Alexander Sender of Komarna, and Rabbi David Hager of Zivulto. The Tzaddikim who we would be connecting to tonight, who chose to leave the 22nd day of Av: Rabbi Mordechai ben Rabbi Hillel, known as the Mordechai, and Rabbi Meir HaGadol of Premishlan, and Rabbi Eliyahu Dushnitzer. And the 8th verse of the Ana B'Koach we say in a whisper: but I will say it out loud as a form of teaching. Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto Le'olam Va'ed. I remind those who have not that it's always good to make the connection during this period between Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur for the meditation from the Ari, and you can find that through the local search on the Yeshem website by looking for Ari meditation. So today's class is continuing our study of the goodness of the land of Israel. This is a sefer, a book that was written by one of the sages about 500 years ago, 400 years ago. And it has tremendous information. You can find the handout by going to the Revealed Wisdom Matrix, which is found on the Revealed Wisdom page, which is in the red bar on any Yeshem webpage. In that red bar, you'll see the words Revealed Wisdom. If you click on that and then scroll down about an inch and a half, you'll find a matrix, a green and white series of lines. And if you scroll down to row 19, the right-hand column is a landing page for these classes on Tuv HaAretz, the goodness of the land of Israel. when you open up that landing page, scroll down to Class 8C, and that is where we will start today. It starts in this location, in the merit of tzedakah, meaning the merit of charity, rains descend to the earth. Yet there are still other occasions where the three miluim of Ehye, from Bina and Zeranpin, and the Malchut herself join together. They are 161, 143, and 151, and they total 455. This is the gematria of the spelled out names of the name Ehye. And Ehye comes from the burning bush when Moses asked what name he should tell the people of Israel. Children of Israel, when he was going to redeem them, what name should he said, name of God did he say sent him? And God answered, Ehye Asher Ehye, I am what I am. We have also said that in Chachmah itself, the Ehye that is there is only on loan. Therefore, she only gets from Abba a simple Ehye, which is a gematria of 21, without a milui. When you combine the three miluim of Bina, Zeranpin, and Malchut, together with this one Ehye from Chachmah, their total value is the Hebrew word Malkosh, 476. And Malkosh translates as primary rain. Being that she, Malkosh, is filled with all the goodness, therefore the influence that she provides is called the Revia, the quarterly or saturating rain, that falls right before the harvest season and inflates the grains on the stalks. Being that the root of the three miluim above is the numerical value of rains, in Hebrew, geshamim has a gematria of 393, therefore it is also the symbol of those influences. Geshamim is therefore spelled by the first letters of those influences. One, geshem, two, sheleg, and three Mata'ar, four Yoreh, and five Malchush, or Mayim. And this is what is meant by the verse, just as the rains and the snows shall descend from the heavens. As well as the verse, and I shall provide for you the rains, the Hebrew word is Mata'ar rather than Geshem, in your land, which is Yoreh, and Malkosh. As well as the verse, to the rains of the heavens you shall drink water. It is known from the teachings of the sages, in the merit of tzedakah, charity, rains descend to earth. This is hinted to by the fact that the words tzedek, which means justice, and tzedakah together have the numerical value of 393, which is geshem, or geshamim, rains, which is the value of geshamim. This is true because when one performs the mitzvah of tzedakah, he creates a union of both tzedek, justice, and tzedakah, charity, as is mentioned in the Zohar. Let's return to our original topic. Just like there are waters which are rooted in the three miluim of Ehye, as mentioned above, there are also waters which are rooted in the four miluim of Chavaya, namely Ab, Sag, Ma, and Ben. Together in those miluim, they have a combined 9 yuds, totaling the numerical value of 90, 9 times 10, which is the same value of the word maim, water. They are the male waters. There is yet another form of water. If you would combine the Ab, the father, together with the Milui of 161, representing Chachma and Bina, between the two you have 7 Yuds. Yet also there are 2 more taking form of the letter Aleph, the Yud above the line and the Yud below the line of Echieh. That brings us to a total of 9 Yuds, again having the value of Maim. Mem, Yud, Mem, 40, 10, and 40, totaling 90. Water, this is the mystery of that which the sages taught. There are waters that give rise to the wise people, there are waters that give rise to imbeciles, and there are even waters that give rise to average people. The latter occurs when there are both the male and the female waters being combined. Here is an unwritten commentary. Contrary to people's perception today, based on science where the instrumentation hasn't caught up with this ability, there is a difference between water that rains down upon the earth, which the sages have called male waters, and water that rises from the earth, which are springs and rivers and oceans and many other different forms. And we have different categories of waters. Now, water is water, but we have categories according to the sages. There is a way to discern the difference between those waters. When you combine the rains with the female waters, the male waters with the female waters, you are able to create these 3 categories of people. They are being influenced by the waters that they drink. That's essentially what was being said in the previous few paragraphs. Continuing to read, we have a discussion from the Arizal from his Gate of Reincarnation. And this comes from Chapter 10 of our Advanced Reincarnation classes, which we are presently about discussing. We have not completed Chapter 10, I don't believe. Parents to children. The Kabbalah explains that the father, the son, and teacher and student bonds, and we will speak further about children born to fathers. Obviously, children are born to fathers and mothers, but the Arizal is specifying here the father only. The reason will become clear at the end of the section when he talks about Azael. In some children, the dominating driving force comes from the father, and sometimes to an extreme degree. When a man unites with his wife in intimacy, from the energy of the father, there is drawn the son's surrounding light. Also, the aspect of internal light is drawn from the energy of the mother. I am adding, in my opinion, inner light represents the personality of the baby. Note that personality is a deeper level of character traits that come from the teachings of the Kabbalah. Surrounding light represents the potential light that the person is capable of revealing and transforming into inner light during his or her lifetime. And we will learn more about surrounding light and inner light as we talk about the 22 days of the Tishrei High Holidays in our classes as we proceed and get closer to those holidays. It was mentioned earlier that all things consist of two aspects, light and vessel. These two also consist of two aspects each. There is the internal part of a vessel and the external part. Similarly, there are two aspects of light. There is internal light and surrounding light. The internal light is the aspect of light that enters into the vessel. It is contained within the vessel, under pressure because it cannot easily expand outward. The surrounding light, on the other hand, does not enter into the vessel, but hovers around it. It is much less concentrated because it was not contained within the limited space of the vessel. Although it is always connected and associated with the vessel and always shines upon it, the amount of light that enters into the vessel is always much more limited than the surrounding light. Also, the amount of light that enters into the vessel is always much more limited than the surrounding light, which is not forced into a limited space. Therefore, the surrounding light is considered greater and of a higher quality than the internal light. That is why it is the surrounding light that brings about miracles, whereas normal everyday affairs are in the province of the internal light. The process of transmission from parent to son is the same irrespective of whether it is surrounding light or internal light. The light is clothed within the Netzach, Hod, and Yesod of the soul of the parent, as was taught in the previous section. Now, since the surrounding light is greater, it is associated with the Sephirah, the right side, which is also the higher one, called Chachma and Abba. Correspondingly, the internal light is associated with Bina, called Ima. Now, at the time of their unification, it is possible that both parents will concentrate upon the mitzvah and holiness. The mitzvah is what we have been commanded. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it." The intimacy that derives from the long-term relationship of husband and wife is also considered by many to be part of the completion of the mitzvah. The characteristics and qualities of the children depend upon the thoughts and behavior of the parents at the time of conception. I am adding, in my opinion, the actual issue is the unity or disunity of the thoughts of the parents at the moment of conception. An example of disunity would be the father thinking about an actress, not his wife, and the mother thinking of cleaning the house, not her husband. From this, it would be easy to understand what is meant by unity. Please forgive me for the appearance of chauvinism, but this was written many years ago. The mitzvah should be done in purity and holiness, and in that way it increases the holiness of husband and wife, and it increases holiness throughout the world. This is a very important subject in the Kabbalah, but this is not the place to even begin the subject. In addition to the laws of family purity that must be known, the reader may also refer to the Shulchan Aruch, concerning the set and setting of the mitzvahs, and to the important Kabbalistic book ascribed to the Ramban, who is Nachmanides, called Dat Kedusha, the knowledge of holiness. And to my knowledge, that has not yet been translated into English. Now, the Arizal is adding here the well-known Kabbalistic rule that when the mitzvah is performed with purity and holiness and proper thoughts, then it also increases the holiness of the offspring. Another important associated Kabbalistic rule is that the characteristics of the qualities of the children depend upon the thoughts and behavior of the parents at the time of conception. Alternatively, the concentration of both of them may not be for the sake of the mitzvah, but for their own pleasure, or what we would define as the negative thoughts. Marital intimacy without pleasure is just as bad as when the partners are only thinking about satisfying their own physical desire for stimulation and pleasure. Indeed, children born from intercourse where there was no pleasure are likely to be damaged physically or mentally. On the other hand, the desire that the partners have for each other is a positive factor in the determination of the child's level of intelligence and character traits. However, when their thoughts and concentration are only on physical pleasures, then the quality of their unification plummets downward towards zero. In addition, such people are likely to do other things that are wrong. In the preparation for their meeting, in the setting of the intimacy, and in the human dynamics of their relationship. Thus, their unification can actually eventually take place in the realm of evil, God forbid. They give birth to negative human beings, which on one level can be considered devils. Alternatively, the concentration of the father might be for good, whereas that of the mother is for bad, or vice versa. If both of them are thinking about the holiness of the mitzvah, then the child will be a perfect tzaddik. In surrounding light and in internal light, if the intentions of both of them were for evil purposes, then the child will be completely evil in surrounding light and in eternal internal light. If the father's intentions were for good, but that of the mother was for bad, then the surrounding light of the child will be righteous, and the internal light will be wicked. With the passage of time, the surrounding light will overcome the internal light, and he will become completely righteous. This is because the surrounding light includes the internal light, and the surrounding light, will overturn it and will purify it. The surrounding light includes the internal light because they were originally like one light. Some of the original light entered into the vessel, but most of it remained outside. Thus, the light that is inside the vessel was once included within the greater light that remained outside. There are some children who are very sharp and they cannot stay still, whereas some children are lazy and move very heavily. Since the surrounding light is greater than the internal light, the former will conquer the latter and change it entirely, if necessary, into something good. The quality of the two lights, in turn, will influence the child's character and behavior, and even many of the things that will happen to him throughout his life. An unwritten commentary. What we have just been reading is determining the original movie for that child. Now, as he goes through life, he may choose the tool of binding by striking, in which case he changes that original movie. But the original movie is established by the comparative consciousness or the unification of the consciousness between the mother and father at the moment of conception. So I'm continuing to read. If the father's intentions are for evil, but the mother's are for good, then the surrounding light will be bad and the internal light good. However, after a time, the surrounding light that is bad will overcome the good internal light, and it will also become bad. Nevertheless, it seems from the following words of the Arizal that the situation is never clear-cut black and white. There are degrees, and there are other factors. If you want to know if the power of the father or the power of the mother will dominate, then you can recognize it by the lightness or heaviness of the sun. It is not clear-cut that the power of the father always dominates. There are other factors that alter the determination. It is possible for the power of the mother to sometimes dominate. These other factors, however, are not the subject of the Arizal here. Rather, he wants to describe now how it can be known if the light coming from the father will dominate or vice versa, and the consequences upon the child. The internal light is limited, and it is not dynamic, but the surrounding light moves around outside and propels a person to the place that it wants. Consequently, if you see a person who is light like an eagle and runs like a deer in all his activities and quick in all his work, it is because the surrounding light that comes from the energy of the Father dominates over him. And I am adding, please be very careful in discerning these attributes in people. Remember that a person who has Gemini in their astrological chart may exhibit running like a deer due to the traits of quickness associated with Gemini, and it isn't necessarily coming from the Father. Continuing to read. Yehuda ben Taima said, "Be bold like a panther, light like an eagle, swift as a deer, and strong like a lion to do the will of your Father who is in heaven." On the other hand, if you see someone who is lazy and moves heavily, it teaches that it is the internal light from the side of the mother that is dominant. Now, everything goes according to their deeds, by which I mean that if the father's intention at the time of intercourse was for the mitzvah, then this child will be quick to do the work of heaven, and he will be very great in Torah. However, if his father's intentions were only for his own enjoyment, then he will be quick in the tasks of this world. The opposite is also true. If he is slow moving when his mother's intention was for the mitzvah, then he will be lazy to do the work of this world. However, if her concentration was not upon the mitzvah, then the son will be lazy in the work of heaven. Having said this, it is possible to understand why there are some children who are very sharp and they cannot stay still, whereas some children are lazy and move very heavily. The children of the first group are those heavily influenced by the surrounding light. The second are those influenced by the internal light. In terms of modern science, we're all aware of how many children are diagnosed with ADHD or I forget the psychological term, but essentially they're very active children who cannot stay focused on things. They seem to have, quote, according to science, a disability. What's being described here are children based on their original movie. But ultimately, there are techniques to change the child without resorting to drugs. It may be necessary to resort to drugs, and we're very fortunate to live in a world where those types of drugs are available to help children. But there are other techniques that maybe you can avoid using drugs on your children. If people are interested in knowing about those, they should contact me personally and directly. And I will say, those contacts are never charged for. The information is Torah, and it's always available to anybody free of charge, although we do ask for donations. And we do ask also, and make it very clear, we are not practicing medicine without a license. Continuing to read. High magnitudes of surrounding light can produce a power capable of overriding natural law. And this is the reason that Azazel, the brother of Yoav, was unfathomably light upon his feet. The story of Azazel, the brother of Yoav, is told in chapter 2 of 2 Samuel. The sages said that he could run over the stalks of grass without bending them. In other words, he ran so swiftly that his weight never came to rest upon the surface. Before it could rest, he was already gone from there. It seems to us that the sages are speaking here metaphorically. However, the Arizal is insisting that we take their words here literally. I am adding, please note that the name Azazel is also cognate, meaning it sounds like the angel Azazel, mentioned in the Zohar in section 69 of Bereshit Bet of the Sulam commentary. I would also have an unwritten commentary that you're all familiar with the concept of the Japanese secret society known as ninjas. And one of the techniques they teach is how to be light, how to run over the grass without bending the blades. So all of these aspects, while we're describing these things, can come from the mother or from the father. They can also be taught if the child has a propensity to learn.
Malka?
Yes, go ahead, Malka.
I'm sorry, I'm just signing in.
Okay, welcome.
Thank you.
Continuing to read, we are on... almost done with the class, but you're more than welcome to start, and you know where the recording will be.
Yes, sir.
Definitely a midrash of the sages cannot digress from its simple meaning. However, with what was mentioned here, it is understandable. The energy of his father was over-dominating, and there was no maternal energy within him at all. The surrounding light was totally augmented within him, and he was almost able to fly through the air. It seems to me that the point of the Arizal here is to teach that both that high magnitudes of surrounding light combined with proper intentions and thought patterns at the time of conception can produce a power capable of overriding natural law and providing an instrument for wondrous miracles. There are even more categories to be discussed, yet any more elaboration on the subject would be burdensome. We're returning to the Sefer, Tuv Haaretz, the goodness of the land of Israel. We finished this last section. Does anyone have any questions before we go on? But we will finish chapter 10, part 3, titled The Traits of Israel's Waters. Kabbalah details the traits of the various types of irrigation. At the time of the construction of the first temple, which represented the realm of the supernal Bina, the average vine required an entire city to harvest its fruit. Even later on, at the time after the destruction of the second temple, we see Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi using a wild depiction of the bounty of the land. We saw the cuttings of the vine to be the size of calves, as well as other outrageous statements as to the greatness of the produce of the land. When the Jews living in Eretz Israel were good, the rains were blessed. When the Jews living in Eretz Israel were good, the rains were blessed, for they came as a result of the combination of Chachma and Bina. At one time, the divine influence came solely from Chachma, and at other times it comes solely from Bina, and yet at other times it came from the combination of the two. Everything was dependent upon the actions of the children of Israel. This is what is meant by the verse, "And to the rains of the heavens you shall drink water. If you merit it, you shall receive male waters alone, not the lower male, not from Zeranpin, rather from the supernal Chachma." In Hebrew, the words or the phrase is Chachma Elyona, which stands for the Father, which has the same numerical value as the Hebrew word Mata'ar, meaning rain. But again, that is different rain than Geshem, as we learned above. He is referred to as the upper heavens, for the miluim of the three echies mentioned above, together with the three kolels, equal hashamayim, Hebrew for the heavens. This is because they come from the masculine alone, and the rains come from the shevil, the channel or the pathway from the masculine, whose numerical value equals that of Geshem, which is from the Yesod of Chachma alone. The water that you shall drink from the above verse in Deuteronomy comes from the nine yuds of the nine divine names, Ab, Sag, Ma, and Ban, of Chachma. If the Jews didn't have much merit, then the verse, "To the rains of the heavens you shall drink water," should be applied to the following manner. This matar, numerical value 249, remains from the value of the word bashamayim, which is a value of 392. When you remove the milui of 143, Bashamayim, together with the three kolels, equals Hashamayim, the heavens. And this is what is meant by the words "to the Mata'ar," to the rains, Bashamayim, in the heavens, the rains that comes out of the heavens. Geshem 343 is from Resh Lamed Bet, and Pei Lamed Aleph, which is 232, plus 111, that join as a result of the union of Chachma and Bina. The waters Maim, which is 90, that you shall drink is from the name Av, and the spelling out of the name Ehye with Yuds, known by its numerical value of 161, or Kasa, that together have 9 Yuds. Note the above two names have a total of only 7 Yuds. Perhaps the author included the simple spelling of each name. Havaya and Ehye each having 1 Yud, all of this is from the male, in Hebrew meaning of Zachar, which equals 227, and the female, the Nekeva, which equals 163, whom together with the kolel of the two words have the same numerical value as Bashamayim, 227 plus 163 plus 2 totals 392. Eretz Yisrael drinks first, then the rest of the world. If the Jews don't even have that much merit, then the way to understand the verse, to the rains of the heaven you shall drink water, shall be as follows. The root of the word mata'ar, rain, is from the realm of Sod, for the word mata'ar in the Akbash system is gani, meaning my garden. Those numerical value is the numerical value of Gani is 63. The Geshamim, the rains, will be from the 3 Miluim of Ehye in Bina alone, and the waters will be those that remain from Geshamim. When you remove the 161 and the 143, effectively all the waters will be feminine. Those three levels were from Zeronpin and Nukva in the times of the Second Temple. If the Jews were meritorious in their majority, then the influence would descend from the masculine aspect alone. If the children of Israel were half and half, then the influence would be mixed. And if the majority of the Jews were culpable, then the influence would descend in the feminine form alone. Yet if the Jews are capable or culpable of heinous transgressions, such as idolatry or abandoning the ways of the Torah and not studying its precepts, then even the feminine waters didn't fall for them. This led to a drought, is a commentary. And this is hinted to in the verse, and they encamped in Rephidim, and there was no water for the nation to drink. The intention of the verse is that there was no water. In Hebrew, Ein Mayim, whose numerical value is 151, or Kana, the name and numerical value of the name Ehye, spelled out with the letter He, which is also representative of the feminine waters that they were missing. That was caused by either the idol of Mika that they had with them, or from the fact that they had stopped learning Torah. All of the above is still applicable nowadays. And I will make a commentary, unwritten commentary. The number 151 is the gematria of the Hebrew word mikvah. And we all know a mikvah serves the purpose of cleansing. And so what we're being taught here is that a drought is cleansing. Behold, from all of the types of influences mentioned above that would fall for the children of Israel, only a watered-down version would be given to the 70 ministers of the archetypal 70 nations. This is just like the teaching of the sages. Our rabbis have taught that Eretz Yisrael drinks first, then the rest of the world. Eretz Yisrael gets pure rain, and the rest of the world gets theirs watered down. Eretz Yisrael is watered by the Holy One, blessed be He, himself, whereas the rest of the world is watered by a messenger. As the verse says, He gives water on the face of the land and sends the water to the face of the outlying boundaries. This is a verse from Job. Bina contains within herself 50 gates through which she gives over the reins. The understanding of this is as follows. Bina contains within herself 50 gates through which she gives over the reins. This is what is meant by the word in the above verse, hanotein, meaning he gives, which can be understood to spell nun tena, meaning the number 50 shall give. Of course, the word tena, as mentioned earlier, represents equals the three miluim of Echie, which are rooted in Bina. So from the three miluim, the rain descends to the Eretz Yisrael. All of this is dependent upon the good deeds of the children of Israel. Yet the rest of the verse, and sends water to the face of the outlying boundaries, refers to outside of Eretz Yisrael, where the waters are first given to Satan and Rahab, who subsequently to be distributed to the 70 nations. This is why the word for sends in the above verse, Shaleach, is spelled missing the letter Vav. Its numerical value, 338, is equal to the word Satan, which is 131, and Rahab, 207. They are the messengers of God for this task. That's the end of our handout, the end of our class. Does anyone have any questions? It's also the end of the section.
Anouk, I have a question.
Go ahead, Brandy.
Okay. If the waters in Israel seem to be better, then theirs is firsthand, ours is secondhand. So mine is, question is about a mikvah. So then are the mikvahs in Israel purer than the mikvahs in the rest of the world?
There are different ways to answer that question. It's an excellent question.
Okay.
But the reason that it's not going to be a simple answer is what we just read. You have many different categories of water. You have male categories, female categories, and mixtures of waters. Now, I have been told, but I have never been in the mikveh of the Ari, which is in Sfat, that water comes from a spring. It is quite cold, and it is a beneficial, very positive mikveh. But all of that depends on the actions of the human beings living in the land of Israel. When the Ari lived there, that water was coming from, in the north part of Israel, it was coming from the teachings of the Ari, the reality of his 10 students, or his one student, depending on how you perceive it. And that was overpowering the other people who lived in the land of Israel at that time. So your question about specific mikvahs, as one is more than powerful than the other, the answer is yes, they are. But how do you know? You need to be energy sensitive to feel the difference. And for most people, today the mikvahs are very beautiful. They're designed to appeal to the feminine psyche in many cases, more so than the male psyche. And the waters are heated, so you do not get the full impact of the water unadulterated. And even so, the mikveh that you will go to will be beneficial. It will cleanse you so that you, your ability to draw children or to draw, create additional souls, as we have taught, will be more beneficial going to a mikveh than not. But is it better to go to a mikveh that is coming, that has been built, or is it better to go to an open river? My opinion, it's always better to go to the open water, to what is known as living water, which is another category, essentially referring to male waters, not mixed, or male and female waters that are mixed based on the good intentions and the good actions of the children of Israel. So I know my answer isn't clear. Go ahead, Brandy.
You answered my second question. I have a friend who is trying to conceive, and she is young. And her husband is Israeli, and they go back to Israel from time to time, and they'll be going back shortly. So it would be beneficial for her to go to a mikveh in Israel.
My sense is she needs to go to the mikvehs. It would be better for her to go to the Jordan River.
Okay.
Or the Sabine River. Rather than the mikvahs, because presently you have a dichotomy of people in this country that seem to be split over their philosophies. The same is true in Israel. It's a modern state. There are many children of Israel living in Israel that are not observant. And yet there are many people living in Israel that are observant. And this dichotomy appears to be separation, and it will apply to the water within Israel.
Okay.
There's no easy answer to your question. There's no simple answer to find out. Is it better for her to go to a mikveh in Israel rather than in America? It actually depends on when her period, when her seven cleaning days are over. Because the sooner that she is no longer Nida, the sooner that she and her husband can participate in the consciousness of being fruitful and multiplying.
That's good. I'll tell her.
Are there any other questions?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Tywood, in case you're still here, and I hope you are, there was a lot of material in this class that you may or may not have been able to absorb. You shouldn't be confused or put off by not being able to understand what you heard, because you were receiving metaphysical energy as you heard it. So I hope you'll continue as your schedule allows.
Oh, thank you so much. I did understand, I think, some of it, and then the other I just kind of let absorb. So thank you very much.
You're very welcome. If there are no other questions, I wish everyone a beautiful evening. And our class is tomorrow on Monday at 4:30. We will have a mini Zohar class, which delves into the Zohar verses on a very deep level, and the classes on the our 7 o'clock class will continue our morning class from today, which is the preparation for the month of Elul and for performing the mitzvah of Teshuvah, of returning to God and taking back the energy we've given to the negative system through the mistakes, which many people call sins, that we have done this past year. Shalom to all. Have a beautiful evening.
You too.
Bye. Shalom. Thank you.
Thank you.